Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm really excited for the material and content we have. It's an exciting time to be alive on this planet, and there's so much possibilities and so much awakening and unfolding, which is the expansion of consciousness itself. It's going to be a really fun show. The topic I wanted to talk about tonight, just briefly before we bring on our guest, Ted Karam, is the notion of purity. Purity is a curious concept, and our guest tonight, Ted Karam, shares some of the same background that I have. We both work in RF engineering and television, and when you work with power and you're trying to convey power, and we're all powerful beings, every single human on the planet is made from the fabric of creation itself. When you work with power from an engineering point of view, purity becomes really important. If I'm going to move a lot of energy out the door and do it gracefully, I have to give it a pure path for it to go out the door. And if that path isn't pure, that energy is going to show up as heat, and ultimately it can show up as damage to the equipment because the path is incongruent or incompatible with being able to handle that kind of power. So if I take the notion of purity and I apply it to my human consciousness, so here I am, a human being, and I have a subconscious that I've loaded up with karma over my life, and those events that get imprinted on my consciousness brings a bias or a polarity to my consciousness, and that dilutes and pollutes the purity of my essence. And if I really load up my subconscious with guilt or shame or bitterness or resentful attitudes or mindsets, I'm literally distorting the purity of my essence. And you can think of human consciousness, a pure soul comes in without any karmic imprint and loads up with karmic and goes into the darkness. And our human experience here on this planet, we've really loaded up a lot of darkness in our subconscious, and it's playing out on the stage called planet Earth. Well, the purity is a curious thing. If I go to hold consciousness, say I want to pray for somebody or say that I want to transform or raise the vibration of a situation, if my own consciousness is loaded up with karma, I'm not as pure as I could be. And even though my intent is good, the distortion of the totality of my persona dilutes the purity. I like the saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall know God. And the idea of the burning bush, I love the purity of the statement, I am that I am. There's no bias. There's no skewing at all. It's like the moment you go to choose attribute, you choose an when you make that choice, you have a preference of one over the other, and that creates a bias, and that creates a distortion in purity. So when we think of the journey of our human consciousness to rediscover our truth, that infinite well of power within us, it's the resolution of everything that's impure that is stored in our consciousness or our energy persona. I mean, you can walk into a home or a bar or a public place and feel really tense feelings or vibes. That's the thing itself. You can interact with somebody and walk away feeling resentful or tense or uptight. That's the thing itself. Purity, by its definition, doesn't have anything that skews it or polarizes it. And by its very nature, it's pure. The example of Jesus and the idea of love, he was able to hold the consciousness of love regardless of what his eyes showed him. He stayed in that pure space of love, and to the untrained eye, miracles happened. So we all have this purity within our being, within the essence or the core of our being. It's always there. You can't mess it up. You can load it up with karma, but it doesn't remove it from your persona. It just creates a karmic propensity that you experience until you resolve everything within your subconscious that you've loaded up over your lifetime. There's just one other thing I want to say about purity before we get to the fun part of the show. It's all fun. But there's a book out called Anastasia, and it's written by this riverboat captain named Vladimir. Anastasia and the Ringing Cedars. And she very much has the idea of purity down. The what she talks about as far as what is possible for a human condition and how it relates to purity is really an exceptional portrayal of what purity has to offer us. I suggest in our future, everything that is, quote, discovered, unquote, from our human condition will come about by us discovering the purity that's already within us, and by resolving or reintegrating everything that we've separated ourselves with. Anastasia it's actually 8 books, and Anastasia is the first book. So if you like reading, go find that, and I think you'll be quite delighted. All right, enough of that. Our guest tonight, Ted Karam, he's a good friend of mine. We share RF technology, RF energy as a understanding of the nature of energy. And when you work with RF, it's invisible. You can't touch it. It's like this idea, this ideology in your head. And it makes you really have to contemplate the nature of this substance that you can't see. And Ted knows it like nobody I've ever met. He's an extremely intelligent man, very, very bright about the nature of energy, the nature of power. He's written a book called Jumping on Water, Awakening Your Joy, Empower Your Life. I don't want to waste any more time. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hi, Les. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
What would make you think 2 RF engineers talking on a show would be about human consciousness?
That's a scary thought, right? 2 geeks. But I love the topic you started with tonight on purity. It's so important. It's at the heart of everything, that, you know, and it has to do with energy too. You know, the energy we work with, not only outwardly, it's the same energy that we're talking about within. You know.
Sure. Well, I mean, you really work on the nuts and bolts of RF energy. Like, when you create a signal that you're going to broadcast, in order for that signal to have importance, in order for that signal to have information, the purity of the signal decides everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We might call it the carrier, or the wave in which all the information rides upon. We encode different information into it, and there's all different ways to encode that information and modulate that information. And, you know, if we draw an analogy here, you know, we could call the carrier, or the one stream of life, or the one essence, or the God force, or divine presence. We might call that the fundamental carrier, the fundamental principle upon which all life, all vibrations, all forms that we perceive come forth. And, you know, getting back to that is what we're all seeking, no matter what we think we're looking for in life. You know, no matter how we may have couched our desires and our ambitions within the symbolism and the forms of the world, if we come right down to it, we're all looking for that deep, deep, you know, realization of that connectedness, that truth, that life, that reality beyond just the outer appearance of things, just beyond the vibration and how that vibration is perceived in form and shape. So it's really interesting. There's a lot of analogies. You know, science has reduced matter into molecules, molecules into energy, molecules and atoms, and then atoms and energies. And energy is the very foundation of it all. So it's interesting. A lot of the things you and I play with in RF energy and broadcast has a lot of parallel to some of the spiritual principles and some of the concepts I'm sure you talk about and I know you've written about.
It is a curious thing. I remember, just years ago when I first was shown a television transmitter, and back then it was much more crude, and they would talk about this power. Okay, we're making all these, you know, kilowatts and whatnot, and the kilowatts are going through this tube thing, and it's going over here and going through a filter, and it goes up the stick and comes out the antenna. And everybody can see television as a result of that. I'm like, what the hell? Are you kidding
it's like
me?
Magic.
Wait, back up, you know. And when we talk about that, I really liked how you put it, no matter what we all desire, it ultimately comes down to basically knowing our truth, knowing that pure essence within each one of us.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to wrap words around it. I mean, love seems to hit the mark well, but what is love, and how do you wrap it with some kind of a cognitive description without diluting it? You know, it's
every description limits it in a sense. You know, just as you were talking about before, it's an overlay on top of it. You know. You know, from my perspective, and we've talked about this, there's only one thing happening. We think there's a lot of things happening in life, but there's really only one thing going on, and that's divinity's unfolding. We hear, no matter what tradition we look at, what spiritual tradition or practice, you know, they all talk about the same thing, and there's this one core essence. There's this one God force. There's this one great spirit. There's this one higher self. Presence, divinity. And what is it doing? It's only doing one thing. It's unfolding. It's expressing itself, right? So, you know, it looks in life like we have relationships with people and circumstances and situations, and we're trying to get somewhere. We're trying to overcome certain challenges from our past and in our present. We're trying to achieve certain goals and ambitions and desires. But really, ultimately, deep down, that divine spark, that pure essence, that purity is our very life. Our life and the life of the divine are the same life. There's only one. All things are one. So when we look out, sometimes we get it's so easy to get lost in, oh, I need to manipulate that, or I need to change that, or I'm going to get my vision board down here and I'm going to visualize what I want, and all that's very powerful, but sometimes we lose the perspective that there aren't people and circumstances out there that are stopping us, that are holding back that purity, that are stopping our full expression, our full development and our fullness, the beauty, the wonder, the harmony that we are. There's nothing stopping that except ourselves, except our own unconscious, like you were mentioning a little bit a while ago, our own unconscious. We don't even know it's there. It's invisible, subconscious conditioning the definitions of who we know ourselves to be. And so, you know, TV is an interesting analogy. You know, you know how we're sitting around and we want to change the channel. You and I are hanging out. We want to watch a ball game. We want to watch our favorite show. How do we do it? We walk over to the remote control, right? We grab the remote and we push the up, you know, the channel button, and it changes the channel. Now, what happens there? What really happens there? Well, there's a little oscillator inside the remote control, and it changes the frequency. What we do is we dial into a different frequency. We dial into a different channel of experience. And there's all kinds of channels out there. I mean, I don't know how many, the latest count, I think we just changed to the AT&T system here. I think we have, you know, 2,000, 3,000 channels, you know. There are infinite possibilities. Okay, so think about this. Think about this. Divinity is the very essence of all things, right? We don't have problems or challenges with people or circumstances in the world. The only problem we ever have is our relationship with Source here and now. Are we separate? Are we one in unity here and now? Are we in that space of divine purity? And so whenever we think that our problems and challenges are outside us with people and circumstances in the world, it's that thought, that mindset, that vibration that's the problem. Nothing else, because there's nothing holding back the true spiritual essence that we are. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We've heard that all the time, right?
Sure.
And the spirit that we are can never be less than perfect, made in the image and likeness of the divine being, divine creator. We are the co-creators of our own reality experience. We, through our thoughts and our feelings and our inner visions, our imagination, images and action, imagination. We think in images. We think in pictures. And through cymatics, the relationship between vibration, cymatics is a study of how sound takes form, how vibration actually is the primary, and form and function follow frequency or vibration. And so the images we hold in our mind, we are vibration creation devices,
engines,
in a sense. And this
right.
is the way
yep.
divinity, yeah, this is the way divinity is experiencing itself in diversity. So each one of us is a unique emanation of the Divine One. And we are expressing the inner purity, that pure white radiant light, that being, that love, that joy, that abundance, that infinite eternal nature. We're expressing it in form and through time. And as we do, we shape and we mold that vibration based on our heart and mind. So instead of taking a remote control and changing a TV channel, because, you know, there's a bad luck channel out there, right? Channel 13, everything's going wrong, everybody's out to get everybody. We know that's a real world, right? That's part of reality out that we experience. But it's only one dimension of reality. And a lot of times we get stuck on that channel. We get caught in that vibration, and we get caught in that paradigm because we're actually habitually think along those lines. We think whenever something happens, we look for what's wrong. We look, you know, we're just conditioned to do that. We're not even conscious that we're doing it, but we find negativity. We find what's wrong with people or circumstances and things. We become the critics of life, our own life experience. But that's just the bad luck channel. We can actually tune and retune our remote control. Now, what's our remote control? It's our heart and our mind. And basically, it's the way we feel and the way we think. And when we begin to change the way we feel and the way we think, and the way we think changes the way we feel, then we begin to tune into different experiences of reality. There's a lot of channels out there. And if we think about it, the divine being that we are an emanation of is infinite. So how could you or I, or anybody, as a finite expression of the One, a finite perspective of the One, experience infinity? We can't. We can't grok it. So what we do is we sample. We sample based on vibration. We sample that which is already existing. The infinite possibilities already exist, and we tune into them. We anchor them. We channel them. We ground them here on Earth in this, through, in, and as us, as an experience, by tuning into that vibration. And as we tune into that vibration, it's like a pebble that's dropped into a pond, and then the ripples go out naturally, right? So there's creation, there's evolution, it's happening all at the same time. And we begin to experience more joy, more peace, more love, more of these eternal qualities of our spiritual nature when we discover that we have a remote control. We don't have to be, we don't have to feel stuck. We don't have to feel trapped. We don't have to feel a victim. Because no matter what is happening in our lives, we may not be able to change the outer circumstances or the outer people, but no matter what's happening, we always have the power to change the way we think about it. We change the what it means for us, change how we're going to relate to it, how we're going to hold it. And instead of telling ourselves stories that bring us down and keep us stuck and make us feel like a victim, we can change our mind. This is our free will. And when we change our mind and we begin to choose empowering stories, how am I growing through this? How does this make me stronger? What can I learn from this? How is this unfolding the infinite divine spark within me that wants to express in life? How is it calling me to be a better person, to express more of my divine qualities of compassion, of love, of givingness, of whatever it is? Then we begin to change our vibration. It changes the way we feel. It changes the actions we take. Sorry, I'm rambling on. You got to stop.
No, no, no. That's excellent. Very passionate. We all have that infinite potential, and it never dims. When you look at the idea of forgiveness as a tool of energy, as a tool of human consciousness, forgiveness, how would you describe how fundamental the power of that is?
Oh my! It's a foundational key, and I believe all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Remember, all things are one. All time is now. All that's happening is divine presence. There's only divinity unfolding, right? So it may look on the surface like, well, I'm in a form and there's another form over here, but it's all God. It's all divine presence. There's only one being. There's only you or me and divine presence. So forgiveness is so powerful because, you know, I found years ago, I don't know if you've ever, have you ever heard of Ho'oponopono, the ancient Hawaiian prayer?
Yes.
It's so powerful. I applied it years ago. It shares a truth that is expressed in many different ways, and that is that life is a mirror. What we experience in the world is a reflection of what's unfolding within us. A lot of times, you know, it's like, well, wait, I'm not, you know, thinking about a car accident, or I'm not thinking about this problem or that problem. But what it is, it's a vibrational match to what's vibrationally going on in our feelings and our emotions. And so a lot of times we'll see and encounter things and we'll say, well, why did they do that to me? Or why did she say that to me? Or why did he do that? Or why is this happening? And we think that forgiveness may be about us forgiving someone or someone forgiving us. Ultimately, I find that for myself that it's all about me forgiving myself for having created what I've created. Forgiveness is so powerful when we realize that the greatest thing we want to forgive is the way in which we are unconsciously limiting God, the way in which we are unconsciously, unknowingly holding back divine perfection, divine love, divine compassion and understanding. So we are spiritual beings having a human experience. That spirit that you are can never be less than perfect, is always in a state of wholeness, of love, of joy, of peace, of abundance, of vitality, of excellence and genius and creativity. That's the purity. That's what we are. And so if that's the truth, then any lack, limitation, born out of separation, born out of the belief of separation, and thus we live into our beliefs. Remember, we all live in a little thought cocoon. So a lot of people ask sometimes, well, how come this is happening? How come that's happening? Or why do I feel this way? You know, we have free will. We are made in the image and likeness of the divine. So we have the ability to think for ourselves, to imagine, use the tool of imagination. And we live in our own thought cocoons. A lot of times we're not living and experiencing reality. As you said at the beginning of this call, Les, reality is purity. Reality is pure light, pure love, pure essence, pure spirit. It's unconditional. There's no, and what we do in what we're doing in life, what divinity is doing through each of us in life, is we're playing this game. It's playing this game of hide and seek with itself. It's like this big child.
Sure, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
My wife won't think I'm so crazy anymore, you know, because I'm a big kid too. So, you know, it's this big child play. And what does divinity want to do? It wants to do one thing in this world. It wants to know itself as itself through all of its creation. And within each of us, we each have passion and purpose. We each have a unique way to express this divine spark within us. Talents, gifts, abilities, passion, purpose. And when we follow that, when we allow ourselves to go with that and be led by that, then we shine. This light shines in the world in such a way that it's unprecedented. It's unique. It's beautiful. It's magical. And, you know, part of allowing that light to shine is to, in entering that state of purity, is to become transparent, become open, become receptive to divine presence, become open to love and open to spirit. And what stops us so often are these emotional, you know, these layers or these vibrations of negativity that we hold on to, grudges and things that happened to us 10 years ago and we've been talking about it ever since, or, you know, or we just can't let it go in our mind, we can't let it go in our heart. And so forgiveness is all about letting go of the of paddling against the current of life. Life is unfolding, and a lot of times we think that life is bad, or it's dealt us a bad hand, negative situation. Why me, God? Why did this happen to me? We have to look at our questions and what we're asking. Instead of asking a question like that, we can begin to ask a question, how is this helping me? How is this helping me come closer to you, come closer to the truth of my divine being, come be able to express something that's within me that I don't even know for sure that's there, but I just feel it, and I want to be more fully me. I want to give more of who and what I am. And so when we begin to change our thoughts, begin to change the questions we ask ourselves, we come into this place where we begin to have a direct experience of something that's beyond ourselves, something we would call divine being. So forgiveness, again, what are we here to forgive? We're here to forgive ourselves for hiding our light, for not allowing ourselves to be open, for thinking that we have to be anything other than who we are. See, God created you and everyone on this planet perfectly, and we are perfect in our imperfection. Because we're created that way. All forms limit the one. As you talked about earlier, everything is a distortion or an overlay upon pure light. And so what we're here to do is just accept that. Divinity created you perfectly, all of us perfectly. And yet we don't accept ourselves the way we are. We can't allow ourselves to not be perfect, to not be always the what spirit would have us be. And yet that's the way we're created. We're created imperfect. So our perfect form is to accept our imperfection, is to realize that no matter what's happening, that our greatest opportunity is to make peace with what is, be present with what's here now, align ourselves in this moment. And then when we do that, when we accept ourselves fully for who we are, when we forgive ourselves for all things that we may have done or not done, let go of the belief that anyone did anything against us, because it's all divine presence and it's all serving us. Everything is good. There's only one thing happening. There's only one game in town. There's only one show. There's only one dance. It's divinity. There's nothing outside of God. Nothing. So whatever's happening or what has ever happened in your life, it's in God. Add one more O to God and it's good. God is good. So everything that's unfolding is good. Now that sounds insane to the, I know that's very difficult to hear. And even for me sometimes, like, what, how could this be good? This can't be good. But if we begin to realize that everything that's happening in this life is about us returning to source. It's a return to love. It's a return to light. And what everything is helping us do is wake up from the dream of limitation, which is born out of separation. This belief in separation. So everything is calling us home to God, home to divine presence here and now. And when we deliberately and intentionally forgive ourselves for limiting the light, for being imperfect, for being who we are, in other words, we accept ourselves fully, then the light begins to shine. Then we all of a sudden let go of that outer layer of darkness, that outer resistance to what is, and we align ourselves with life and the wisdom and the magic of life.
Very nice. The ideas that sometimes can come in your head, it's like when you talk about not seeing ourselves as the thing itself, creation itself, so often we'll get ideas from our heart, from that inner source that paints our life in such an incredible and expansive way. Oftentimes we discount it as this, who am I to do that? I mean, there's all this stuff going on and crap, you know, have you seen my life? I mean, look at the train wrecks. I mean, it's carnage. Yeah. It's terrible. Just, you know, and it's so easy for the mind to talk itself out of the idea that it is you. It is you. You are here to express that the fullness of what's possible for our human condition, for our human story. And
absolutely,
when you self-forgiveness and you know those every single one of those train wrecks had a story, had a understanding, had a epiphany behind it that revealed to you a bigger aspect of yourself. And if you didn't, you know, I think sometimes people think that the elevator is going to open and this glowing being, some kind of a deity, is going to come out and wave a wand and everything's going to flip and poof, heaven on earth. And it's like, well, yeah, but maybe a little slower than that. It's going to happen through us, the human being. I mean, if you look at the history of the earth, never, ever, ever has the story been removed from us. We are here to take the journey through the story as the story in this time, in this moment. And we're in this point of presence, in this ever-present now, the persona, the idea, the vibration that we are is the seed of what we experience in future moments. When your heart and your soul give you an idea that makes your noggin ache because it's so magnificent and so bigger than life, that's just an inkling of your potential. What I find really, I guess I'd say satisfying, but it's a very deep satisfaction is to honor that inspiration within our own being. I've worked in TV this time as an engineer behind the scenes, and my soul's going, well, why do you reckon that was, Les? You know, maybe you should stand up and go on the other side of the camera, you know, or go get in front of the microphone, or go have a radio show. And I'm like, well, crap, who am I? I'm this farm kid from Utah. These ideas are too big. And it's like, no, they're not. If you're listening to this and know that your infinite potential, that when you start to get good at capturing and honoring the ideas and inspiration from your heart and your soul, that's when the journey begins as far as expansion, as far as human consciousness is like logarithmic. It's exponential. It's when you honor yourself just a little bit, you become a bigger person, and there's no end to what that can be. And mm-hmm. and to the little self, to the ego, when you come out of struggle and you come out of that storyline and all the whatever of the past, and you start to honor the notion, honor the idea that, yes, indeed, you are the thing personified. Yes, you are the idea creator. Yes, you are the point of inspiration that can change the paradigm of the future if you would just believe in yourself and forgive yourself and have compassion for yourself. It's for me, it's amazing how it grows on itself. It expands on itself. And the more you honor it, the bigger it gets.
Yeah. And you know, the beauty of it is all we need to do, you and I and everyone, is find a way to get out of the way, right? Because what we already said, just like you said beginning, purity is, divinity is. There's already something that's unfolding. There's already infinite potentials of perfect expression. And what, you know, you and I can take credit for anything that doesn't work, you know, when things would get messed up. But when anything shines that's unprecedented, I mean, when the words flow and they're just, oh, they just touch the soul, or when music is created or art or beauty or love, acts of compassion and human, you know, the best of the human spirit, that's when divinity is just flowing through us. That's when we've gotten out of the way and allowed it.
Yep.
And there, that spark is there. You know, you're right. We so often think, who am I, you know, to do this, or how, who am I to say, talk about this, or to offer this, or to bring my the and, you know, as the great saying goes, you know, who are you not, right? Nelson Mandela and others. We are these, but it's so predominant in our culture. It's so predominant when we switch anything on, when we read a magazine, a TV, we watch TV, we read a newspaper article. It's all about we're seeing over and over again the projections of a mass consciousness believing in separation and lack and limitation. So it takes practice. You know, I find that every day, if I don't do my spiritual practice, I lose myself very quickly. You know, I lose myself in, oh, well, thinking this way, and I think, oh, thinking that way, and start, you know, feeling negative and all that. So, you know, with the way we play on the field, the way we play on the stage is the way we practice. If we want to become a good guitarist or a good ballerina or a good teacher or good anything, we need to practice. And so the question, you know, the thing I bring up is, without a daily practice, without practicing looking for the positive, without practicing finding the good, without practicing paying attention to the way I feel and using that as a trigger to say, well, okay, wait, I'm not feeling really good right now. This is telling me I'm way out of alignment with Source within me. So what am I thinking? What's going on here? And, you know, why am I thinking this way? And what can I? What would be a more empowering thought? What would be a more freeing thought? What's the thought I really want to be offering in this moment? What's the feeling I really want to be? Because my thoughts and feelings, I know they drive my actions. They're giving me all my results in life. So if we can, you know, find little ways to practice every day. I can't start my day without spending, you know, 20 minutes just in silence, you know, just listening to divine presence, to listen to that purity, to allow that to be there. And it's so tempting. It's so tempting, you know, right? And we all do. Yeah. It's so tempting. Oh, I got 10,000 things to do. I've got problems to solve and goals to achieve. And my kids are screaming.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want to stop? Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, so basically what I think is so can be so powerful to help us find this purity in ourselves again, to allow that spark to kind of that may be smoldering at times, to just reignite and feel the love, the joy, the certainty, the peace that comes with that. And also the self-empowerment is to spend a little time every day, or as often as you can, whenever you can, in stillness, in silence. You know, whether it's just sitting still on your porch or at a park bench, or even just 5 minutes, you know, a few minutes at your desk at work or at school, and you just kind of just let everything go. Just let everything go and turn within, and just allow yourself. You know, there's all kinds of there's thousands of meditation techniques out there, following your breath. Sometimes what I'll just do is I'll just listen. Just take in everything that's there. Be fully present with what is in the moment. And just that little practice can help the reactivity that's often there, can help the constant, you know, thinking about and planning and projecting, and just kind of give it a sense of peace, a sense of stillness. that can, in a way, allow us to harmonize again, to come into vibrational alignment, to come back into synchronicity, to come back into, to become blended again with that inner spiritual spark of divine presence, so that our relationship becomes one that grows in listening. You know, if you and I just talk all the time, when we're doing a lot of that actually, but if you, you know, in our relationships, if we're just talking or asking, like I pray to God, oh, I need this, I want this, can you please do this? And we just talk, it's not a healthy relationship. And you've heard that saying, it's so important to listen. It's more important to listen than to speak. And when we begin to, with divinity, with divine presence, which again is the only thing that's happening, it's the only game in town, it's all that is. And it's what we are. We're a unique embodiment of it. But when we begin to listen, divine presence can begin to clarify and harmonize and unify our vibrations, our energies, our thoughts, and begin to, it's almost like we're saying, we're here, we're open, we're available, we're receptive. Please use me. Make me an instrument. Peace of your divine love, of your divine creativity. And we open ourselves and give these sacred moments, and they are really, it's kind of like letting go. It's dying unto the world. It's letting everything go and just be as much as we can. Maybe, you know, just be present and listen for the silence. Become still in mind. And it doesn't mean to push your thoughts away. It doesn't mean to try and make anything happen. We can't make the I am show up in us. The I am is our very life. The spark of divine presence, we couldn't be without it. And if you take that spark of spirit away from us, what are we? We return, right, where all we are is dust in the wind, like the song goes, right? We turn to the elements of the earth. But what animates us, what gives us life, is spirit. So a spiritual practice is the most practical practice of all, because spirit is all we are. It's the only real of us. The divine within us is the only thing that's... You know the Course in Miracles, right?
Sure.
Les?
Yes, absolutely.
And the foundation of that course is nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So what we want to realize is the real of us, is that purity. It's the only real. It's the only, the divine spark in us is all that's real. And so there's actually an opportunity that we can create to allow that to become the vibrational continents of our nature. Remember, we talked about earlier that we're all TV signals is a carrier, and we modulate something on it. We call it video and audio and all this stuff. And we modulate it. We can return to the carrier, and
right.
The carrier is pure light, pure love, and that can then begin to infuse and flow into and inform our thoughts, inform our actions, and inform. It guides us. It sustains us, it uplifts us, and all of a sudden we could be living in a different place with lots of hope and lots of it doesn't mean that the bad luck channels aren't out there. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that at the same time, you know, transformation is happening and challenges are happening and growth is happening in all kinds of different ways that we'll never quite understand. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is that we realize that our wish is divinity's command, and our when we pray believing, which means, and we're praying all the time, but divinity doesn't hear our words. It reads directly our heart and mind. It reads our vibration, and it says, "Oh, this is what you're choosing. I'll give you more of this. This is what the principle of resonance is, of the law of attraction. We get more of, we reveal more of the infinite possibility in this moment. We reveal more of whatever we're vibrationally attuned to."
You know, as a guest on a radio show, and they asked me about, when you see these terrible things happening in society, I mean, what do you do? How do you be a higher consciousness when they're raping girls in India and hanging them? And there's so much in our storyline
in humanity, there's so much pain,
this planet. To be a powerful presence in the storm of illusion is to is to accept that whatever is happening anywhere, seen or unseen, is the nature of expression itself. There's no sin that has ever happened. Nobody's ever broken the karmic law ever. We're here with fierce freedom to express with free will the darkest of the dark and the lightest of the light. So as humanity transitions through this apex breaks over the crest of the wave in from the darkness into the light, when you see an event or hear about information about what's happening in our human condition, to have compassion for the consciousness that was motivated to take any kind of a tragic act, none of those actions ever stem from love. They stem from fear and separation. And when people drop into reaction like those pukes, those scallywags, we need to drop into reaction to them. You've lost it. You've lost your power
because you've become that vibration. Yeah,
you're karmically lateral to the event itself. You're karmically an equivalent to it. It doesn't matter if you're on one side or the other. The plus polarity and the minus polarity are still polarity. It's when you can look at that and understand that it is the nature of life expressing by itself. And in that knowingness, like you said in the Course of Miracles, nothing of truth has anything to be worried about. When you stay in the truth of that peace, that place of rest in the center of your being, it's like when you have a signal, if you separate the ground or the reference of that signal, the signal becomes arbitrary and there's no absolute value to it. It's that reference point that defines the information. When you are anchored in that truth, in that place of peace in the center of your being, and the information comes in of the condition of our human story, to stay in that place of knowingness that the divinity is here now, it's present here now, and your personification of it stays in that truth, and at the same time you're cognitive of what is happening. It's that power of compassion that says, yes, I understand. Free will gives you the ability to express in this horrendous way. The choice to express in that way has always been on the table, and it's there for me, and it's there for you, and this personification has chosen it. There's nothing out of step with that. And to stay in the peace and have compassion for it, you literally bring a point of purity. You bring a point of divinity into the storm, everything is holographic. So in the turmoil itself, your point of presence can be the point of presence that conduits the purity of the truth inside the storm and transform the story to one of truth. It can completely shift the condition from your own consciousness.
All things are one. In fact, it is you. So whenever I see tragic events, I mean, we all do, right? And it's like, oh, you know, just feel for what's going on. Sympathy says, I feel how you feel. I know how you're feeling. Empathy says, I feel for you, you know. Compassion, as you mentioned, says, I feel, I see, I understand. How can I serve? What can I bring to this? And Ho'oponopono, that ancient Hawaiian prayer, it's so powerful. It says, no matter what I perceive, no matter what I experience, it's me. It's my responsibility. That's what 100% responsibility means. So when we see the terrorists or the rapists or these people, we see these unimaginable tragedies happening in the human condition, we have to remember one thing. It's all darkness. It's all darkness, and if we become the darkness, then we become the darkness. We become vibrationally the same as it, as you just said. Now, if we're in a dark room and it's nighttime, and you and I don't like the darkness, because it's some negative condition that's happening on our planet right now, some negative condition. How do we remove the darkness? How do you eliminate the darkness? How do you get rid of it?
Bring light.
Yeah. You can't get rid of the darkness because the darkness doesn't exist in reality. The only way to get rid, it has no principle. It's simply
right.
an absence of light. So what's the solution to every problem? It's the truth within us. It's the deepest part of who we really are. And it's divine presence. It's the purity you spoke of at the very beginning. And so this is my problem. This is for me to solve. This isn't a problem with anyone or anything outside of me. If I see it, I'm tuned to it. There has to be a frequency within me. My remote control has to be tuned to that station for me to pick it up. Otherwise, the laws of physics say I can't see it. I will never experience it. I'm not in resonance with it. I can't bring it into my... But if it comes into our experience, if you see it in the news, if you see it on TV... Know that it's not about getting upset. It's not about attacking or blaming. Know that this is the way that you and I are limiting the infinite spirit that we are. You and I are limiting the divine love and compassion and harmony and beauty that is our true being. And then we accept responsibility for it as an individual. We say, please forgive me. This is the essence of the Ho'oponopono prayer. I love it. Please forgive me and release whatever this is within me. We petition to divinity within ourselves. And it's, well, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what I don't know. I'm unconscious of what this is. But it's something in the soul of humanity. It's an imprint. It's in the Akashic records. And I don't even know what it is, but I'm seeing it, and I've drawn it into my life right now. And I need to do something about it. It's my responsibility, no one else's. And so please forgive me. Release whatever this is within me. I'm sorry for holding on to this vibration unconsciously. I don't even know I'm doing it. And then so that now, in this moment, I feel, I experience, and I see the truth of divinity, the only truth there is, the only reality there is, the light, the love, the joy, the compassion. I see everybody in their highest state waking up in some way, that divine presence that is the power behind everything, that is everything. The divine presence works in a way that brings the highest benefit to all being, to all of myself, because that's all anyone is another reflection, another aspect of me, which is divine presence. And so we assume responsibility and we hold a vibration. That's what compassion says. It doesn't get in the ditch and fight and push and pull on the polar opposites and then polarize itself and then just become no earthly good. What good is that? We see, we know, we don't close our eyes to that. We look with open hearts and open minds.
Yep.
And yet we know that it's our responsibility. All things are one. And we are that one being. And so then we fill the space with love. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Release whatever this is within me so that now I feel, experience, and see the light, the love, the compassion, the joy, the abundance, the prosperity of divinity here and now. And then we fill that. We just petition love. We bring love, the love that what we are. Now you could think of the person you love the most in the world. Think of pure state of love. And allow that love to shine. Where's it shining? Everywhere. Because all time is now, all place is one, all things are one. And what we're doing at that moment is we're raising our awareness, we're always going to fall back. And we're constantly coming back to this choice where we choose to align ourselves with the truth of divine presence, which is harmony, which is love. So these acts that we see, so when we watch TV, when we read the newspaper, walking down the airport, and we just catch out of the side of our eye something terrible happening on the news, in that moment, we petition divinity within us, and we fill ourselves with love, and we be that light that is that candle that comes into the darkness, because when the light comes back, the darkness has no principle. It has to go. So everything we want to change in our lives as well, like I don't have the right partner, I don't have love in my life, I don't have the finances I want to take care of my children or my family, I don't have the freedom to be who I want or express. When we look at all the negative, when we look at all the, that's darkness. It has no principle. in reality, as Course in Miracles says, it does not exist. And what's the solution? It's not to try and fix that. It's not to try and wrestle with that and try and reshape and mold that illusion that evaporates into thin air in our midst. It's instead to always, always turn to God, turn to light. All of this is growth, development. It's all grist for the mill of our awakening. That's what we're doing here. So we can honor all of these experiences. We say they're terrible. We wish them not for anybody. And yet, at the same time, we accept responsibility for them. We don't blame or point fingers at anyone. We don't polarize. And we go back to the light. Powerful practice, and we get lost. I forget it all the time and constantly have to be reminded by others. You know, like we get the notes from the universe, from Mike Dooley, and all these great things, you know. I mean, just powerful reminders of, wait, don't forget, it's all you. It's between you and divinity. It's you and God. There's nothing stopping a miracle from happening right now, but an instrument, a vehicle, a point of consciousness that believes, a point of confidence, of a point of consciousness that will accept and hold that vibration so that I can work miracles through you. Did you see that one recently, Les, that one where one of those notes from the universe from Mike, it said, you know, you're trying to hit a home run. You're trying to, you know, you're up at the plate, like at a baseball game, but you forget that I'm the one who hits the home. Divinity's the one who does everything. We don't do anything in life. All we have to do is pitch the ball, right? So we pitch what we want. Let there be peace here. Let there be understanding. Let there be healing. Let there be love. Let the truth, the only truth there is, the only thing that has principle in the universe, which is you, Divine Presence, let you shine here, with here,
you know,
everywhere.
I knew this show was going to be fun and spontaneous and passionate and exciting, and it's fulfilled all of that. So, you know, an hour goes by fast, so I want to take a moment, and if you could share with our listeners what you have to offer and how to get a hold of you.
Well, I like you mentioned earlier, I wrote a book a few years ago. A lot of these principles we've talked about are trying to put them very simply in there with little tools and techniques, jumping on water. You can go get it on Amazon. You know, you can Google it. I have a couple of web pages if folks want to check them out. One of them is just chrysalispoint.com. Chrysalis is, you know, the butterfly. We change my caterpillar into a butterfly, reaching that point of transformation. And there are some postings we'll be putting up again. There's a little blog site. I do a little program here in town. We started up again. It used to be a radio show called Good Vibrations. It's all about feeling good. Feeling good now, the most important thing, because when we're feeling good, our feelings are telling us our thoughts and our intentions are in alignment with Divine Presence here and now, the highest potential that we are. So feel free to check that out. There's a little place that you can send emails if you have any questions or you'd like help with anything. If I can, I'd be happy to.
Well, Ted, it's been really a delight having you on the show. I mean, I know getting two engineers to talk about consciousness, it's going to go into some curious ground, and I think we hit that. So thanks so much for being a guest on the show.
Les, thank you. It was really a pleasure. Very much enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Take care.
You know, the infinite potential is within each one of us. And when we choose to honor our own presence, our own purpose, it's an opportunity for us to be that source of light in this on planet Earth. And when you give yourself permission to show up, and you actually show up with compassion and a genuine sense of love for humanity, it fills you full of joy. Once you taste that joy, it's hard to not look. It's hard to look away. You want more of it. So trust the reason you're here. Trust the purpose of your life. Go to I suggest that New Human Living has opportunities for you to understand the nature of this human experience from an energetic point of view. The show tonight gave you an idea of how engineers can perceive the nature of consciousness, and New Human Living gives you a better understanding of the nature of your life as energy. Thanks so much for joining us on the show tonight. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.